All right, we are live on a Monday, July 7th, 2025, the end of the Mike Rizzo era. Craig Hoffman with Anthony Haney, who is back from vacation. We were going to have a light, fun show today, just talking, getting all kinds of stories out of Haney, fresh off Antoine in Paris, Antonio in Barcelona. And boy, did the reality of being Anthony hit real quick, Sir Haney.
It did indeed, man. We had breaking news literally yesterday evening.
You didn't even make it to work today.
I know.
You didn't even make it to Monday. You just, all of a sudden, I'm sending you a text. Yo, Rizzo Davey, out. Yeah. We got to start booking guests for tomorrow now, bro.
Yeah. I couldn't even enjoy my last day off, man, but it's okay.
Sometimes it be like that. Sometimes it be like that. Wizards made the Cam Whitmore trade. Not going to get to that today. I mean, it's the middle of July. Thanks, Nationals, for giving us something to talk about. But this isn't what we had in mind. Here's where I'm at when it comes to the decision to fire Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. There is a lot of factors at play to the decision in a small, like in a vacuum. And they all make sense to make this move. There is a larger, like, where do they go from here that gets real dicey real quickly. But if we're going to, on some level, look at this decision in a vacuum, we know for a fact that Davey Martinez had an option that, you know, was a couple million dollars to coach next year that had to be picked up by July 15th. And very clearly, they did not want to do that. And Grant, I was listening to G&D on the way in. Grant said he was told there was no ultimatum. It wasn't like Davey was like, or they told Rizzo, you got to fire Davey, and he refused, and then they both got sent. There was none of that, which is something that I thought of initially. But we at the very least know there was a deadline, and deadlines tend to spur action. And if he is not going to be the guy moving forward, what's the point of having him as a lame duck head coach? And then the question becomes, Mike Rizzo on the exact same timeline? And if he is, as some have reported, but a lot, like it still seems to be a little bit of confusion there. I know Grant hasn't confirmed it. They had Jeff Passan on, who was awesome on their show, and we'll play a couple bites of Passan later on in our show from G&D. We have our own great guests as well. Clinton Yates, Chelsea Janes, Robert Flores, MLB Network, going to join us before the end of the hour. Chelsea at 5, Clinton at 6. So we had tons of coverage on both of our stations today. But Passan said he didn't have it confirmed that Rizzo was on the same timeline, but the draft is next week, and if he's not going to be your guy moving forward, even if the option's at the end of the year, do you want to give him a number one pick in the draft? And this gets into kind of how Rizzo ran things from listening, reading. You know, a lot of great coverage in the post. We've had, you know, people on our stations all day. So, while I think you guys that are regular listeners know, I'm not nearly as plugged in on the Nats as I am on the Commanders or the Wizards. I certainly pay attention, and I have taken in a lot of information today. And Rizzo is a very old school, or was a very old school general manager. And the buck stopped with him. And that was something that often was good. He made a ton of great decisions, including many that led to the 2019 World Series. He also has been in charge of some of the misses where certain guys have not panned out. And so if there was a ton of work put into this draft next week where the number one overall pick is going, is the Nationals, and there was fear that maybe a lot of the scouts, the analytics folks, the whoever, wanted to go one direction and Rizzo was going to go the other, while all the work has been done and Rizzo has been charged of the people doing the work, the outcome could be very different. And I think that that is a reality that we should acknowledge. We should say, like, hey, while it feels crazy, and it's like, well, how different is it going to be? All the work's already been done. If you have someone that is a final decision maker that tends to go against the grain or has the power to go against the grain, and, you know, in this case, the grain is all going one way, then that could be a reason to do this now. Nevertheless, the contractual stuff and kind of the logistics and the logic of, if this isn't our GM moving forward, why would we let him make the pick and then move on? Now, of course, Mike DiBartolo, the assistant general manager, who is now the deputy, who is now the interim general manager, we don't know that he's going to be either, but that this is a decision you're going to have to live with. You're going to have to live with the work of your scouts, with DiBartolo playing the role of sifting through the information and, you know, maybe even taking kind of a vote amongst the group, however that is going to go. So on that level, the timing actually makes some level of sense. You're trying to give these guys the season. You know, just when things were getting really bad, they got really good. They had that really nice run where they got within two or three games of 500. And then they obviously went on the 11-game losing streak, in the middle of which Davey stuck his foot in his mouth. And things have been pretty terrible since. And so as they're not getting better, you get closer to the deadline, the trade deadline, the contract deadline, and the deadline of the draft, you make the move. I actually have no problem with that. However, where the team goes from here is, I would say this, it feels very limited in the ways that the Washington football team was limited under Daniel Snyder. And I realize that is a heavy statement, and so I want to be extraordinarily clear about a couple of things up front. Mark Lerner and the Lerner family are not the Snyders and Dan Snyder. I have no reason to believe there is any off-field misconduct, whether that be toxic workplace, whether that be harassing employees, whether that be being a bad business partner, whether in terms of like not paying bills, whether it is committing tax fraud, which I believe Dan Snyder is still under federal investigation for. None of that stuff. But there was a reality from a football, from a sporting standpoint, that with Dan Snyder in charge, you were never going to be that good, because ownership matters in sports. Your ability, your willingness to pay the best people, your ability to find them in the first place, sort through all of the candidates and be like, this is the actual best one. The ability to convince that person, who is obviously smart and coveted because they're the best one, that they should work for you. That was always the limiting factor as much as anything else with Snyder. Could they have potentially gotten lucky and hit on some draft picks because they were really bad and they were then bad in the right draft? And had they drafted a Peyton Manning type, could they have had some good years? Yes, but they never would have been as good as they could have been. And they consistently ruined all the good things that they had, because that's what bad ownership does versus maximizing everything you've got, which is what Josh Harris has done in year one and set up the organization as best they can. And that is investments on, so it starts off with the people, right? And then you get into the investments on infrastructure. How's your medical staff? How are your facilities? Are you giving the, how's your analytics group? How is your research group? Like, all of these people that you need to hire to compete in the modern version of sports, you were never getting that in Ashburn. Never. They were so far. I remember they were so proud of themselves when they got basic stuff in their training room, like cold plunges. And this is like in 2018. And it's like some teams have had this stuff for a decade. And there's a report in the Post last week. There's some technology that most baseball teams have been using for at least 5 years. And Rizzo is like, hey, we're getting it. It's like, we're 5 years late, at least. Nevertheless, on the cutting edge. And that's where the next hire, obviously, is critically important. And maybe the Mark Lerner has learned his lesson. Maybe he's seen the lack of investment, just how bad it is. And he's going to hire someone and say, what do you need? Check. We're super rich. We haven't spent money. And now it's time to go and checkbooks open. And if he does that, then if I was Mike Rizzo, I'd probably be pretty ticked off. But that's the right thing. That's not Mark Lerner's problem. He's got to do it. And the Lerner family, as ownership, has to do it, because that's what it takes to win, if that's what they want to do. And if you don't, well, that's a different conversation. But finding someone who doesn't necessarily need you to open up the pocketbook to win the Juan Soto bidding, like that's a different level. But to, at the very least, make the investments that you need to compete in Major League Baseball, and then hopefully you're getting the most out of your guys. You're drafting really well. You're super smart. You make some smart acquisitions. Maybe you can't re-sign a Mackenzie Gore, another Scott Boras client who is now at the same service time that Juan Soto was when he was traded. But if you make another blockbuster, if it's this year, this offseason, or next year, you could get a ton in return, and you could, off the backs of Juan Soto and Mackenzie Gore, you could build a pretty freaking good baseball team. And then you have to manage the roster moving forward. And so the limitations on the Nationals are very simple. It's whatever Mark Lerner decides for them to be. And if he is truly committed to doing the things that other owners of winning franchises do, and you don't have to spend oodles and oodles of money. There's other ways to do it. Look at the Rays. And you were willing to do what it takes to build a culture, to build a winner, then this will go down as oddly timed, bizarre, surprising in a lot of ways, but ultimately the unquestioned right move. Because I think with some of those investments, someone with a newer, fresher eye, it was probably time. And that's not to take away, and in some ways this feels dirty to Rizzo, because we should have just been like, this whole first segment could have been a thank you, Mike, for incredible service, a World Series championship, and for, frankly, as he put in a text to Barry Svrluga, navigating that ownership group for 20 years. He did an exceptional job. But I think eventually it does become a time. And so two things can be true at once. It cannot be totally Mike Rizzo's fault, or even mostly Mike Rizzo's fault, that the Nationals are in their current situation. It can also be right to move on. And what comes next is critical if this baseball team wants to be relevant more than a headline every 5 years firing their manager and everyone scratching their head going, what happened to that team that was dominant for stretches of the 2010s and ultimately closed off that decade with a World Series? 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. We will take your calls. What is your reaction to the Rizzo and Martinez firings? Then Robert Flores coming up at 4:45 here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. We're also, of course, live now on iHeartRadio and TuneIn, and you can watch us at Team 980 on YouTube daily as well. So lots of ways to consume the show. And on demand, of course, as well, you miss any part, you can check out the Hoffman Show podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the free Odyssey app. All right, let's get to your calls. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. On the Nationals moves yesterday, it was probably about 22 hours ago at this point that they fired Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. Let's go to Colin. Colin, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well.
I had two thoughts on this immediately. Was you look at 2012 to 2019 when the Nationals were consistently one of the best teams in the regular season, in the whole league, in both leagues, you know, the Nationals were spending money and we thought Rizzo was a genius and we loved him for it. In the last 6 years, the Nationals have been in this weird direction where are they selling the team? Are they not selling the team? They haven't really been spending. And now all of a sudden, oh, maybe it's time to move on from Mike Rizzo. I don't know. So I kind of just want to temper some of this feeling that some people have that, you know, maybe Rizzo had been too old school or, you know, not really with the times. I mean, the team has been weird for 6 years. And my question now is, do we think that Mark Lerner is going to be the person to give us a better GM than Mike Rizzo? I don't know. So that's my big thought.
Yeah, Colin. So I think it's an interesting conversation because Rizzo's not a bad GM. Obviously, we have so much success, but that success did come a certain way. It came in spending money. There are other GMs in baseball that have a lot better success finding edges and using the player development system and, you know, have been more successful consistently in the draft and all of those things. And so I think that, like, could Mike Rizzo be a winning general manager in baseball? Yes. Would I give him a much better chance in a place like Los Angeles with the Dodgers or New York with the Mets with their ownership and their willingness to spend? Yes. So in some ways, since Ted Lerner died, and or even before he passed last February, since he kind of gave up control of the team to Mark, you have to think about this as a new ownership group. And it's important that your ownership group and your general manager, your lead executive, is on the same page. In this case, Rizzo, the team president, not just the GM. And I think it's pretty clear they weren't. Like, I think it's pretty clear that the way the Lerners wanted to do business, which is to be nice, cost-efficient, to be harsher, cheaply, doesn't really work with Mike Rizzo's more old-school skill set, being like, this is the talent, let's go pay the talent. And that's a problem. And so I think that, like, that is probably being kinder than I need to the Lerners, because I don't know how many general managers would have succeeded here the last 6 years. I do know that there are, I think, a lot of people in baseball who would have done a better job than Rizzo because of kind of where his strengths are and the fact that those strengths cost money compared to hopefully the next person who knows how to make more out of less, if that's who Mark Lerner is going to be as an owner moving forward.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I wasn't thinking of it that way, but I still want to say one thing, is knowing the organization is maybe a little bit subpar, can we really lay all of the player development stuff at Mike Rizzo's feet? And I don't know this. I don't know what the numbers and money that was allocated to that department, who they had, old school versus new school. But perhaps there were things that he wanted to do player development-wise that they just didn't have the capability to do.
No, that's 100% the case. Like, how much of that versus how much was he even asking for the right stuff, I don't know. And I also don't know that if he wasn't asking for the right stuff, that Mark Lerner would have known the difference. Like, that's kind of the thing. And Colin, I appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Again, 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Is they have been very insular, but that's also in part because they, until 2019, have been successful. Why would you look outside if what you're doing inside is working? I think is a pretty fair question to ask if you're them. Like, if you're Mike Rizzo, it's like, why do I want to bring in people from other organizations? Why do I want to look around? We got our eyes on our own paper and we keep getting A's. You know, they were in contention. They couldn't quite finish until 2019 and, you know, the playoff losses. But, like, in the same way that the Capitals, you know, different reasons for not finishing it off. But it's like, how much do you really want to change? How much do you really need to change if you're the best team consistently over the course of a season? And then things go sideways for different reasons in the playoffs. If you have consistent reasons why things go sideways, then maybe you need to fix those. And the Capitals did and won a Stanley Cup. The Nationals were able to plug enough holes with guys like Howie Kendrick and, you know, guys that Rizzo was able to find, like vets that fit what they wanted. And that's where he was good. And those guys cost a little bit more money because they're vets. So while that was happening, though, while there is money being spent in the organization, the dearth that follows doesn't happen if they don't draft, or if they draft and develop better. And that's the thing that I think people look at the last like 3-4 years and they're like, well, they haven't spent any money. Okay, well, when they were spending money, were they also making sure that when they blew up the team or when they had to move in the post-championship era, that they were going to have the pieces? And that's where I think things get a little squirrely. Because I don't know that Rizzo was prepared to tear it down in the way that he was told to tear it down. And that's not fair to Mike. Especially if he didn't expect that. It was one thing if ownership is like, hey, just so you know, this is it. And like some of these guys that are up, we're not going to pay. We're not going to pay Trey Turner. We're not going to be able to pay Max again. We are going to have to pay Strauss because he's a hero. And there's, you know, some irony there that the one guy they paid was the one guy they shouldn't, or one of the guys they shouldn't. Obviously, Rendon has worked out quite well to not pay. But I think that's where this gets hairy, is in some ways it's no one's fault. In some ways it's everyone's fault. And when that's the case, clearly something needs to change. And And I'll say this last thing before we take a break and then take more calls. Again, 301-230-0980. I was listening to Passan earlier with GND, and he said something that I slightly disagree with, and I hesitate to disagree with Jeff Passan because he's so smart. He's so good at what he does, and he knows this landscape broadly. But actually, I think if I challenged him on this, he'd probably be like, you know, that's a good point. He said that 5-6 years from now, if guys like Brady House and Dylan Cruz figure it out, then the end here might look even different for him, where it's like, oh, he actually built another winner and he just didn't get to oversee it coming to win, because there is a lot of talent currently in this organization. But where I disagree with how much credit Rizzo gets for that is the development piece. Because if the new folks come in and they get more out of the players than would have happened had Rizzo stayed, that's a counterfactual we'll never know. But like, who's managing the team? Who is running the development stuff? Like, that stuff matters a lot. It's baseball players, like basketball, like football players, rare are the ones that are A-plus gonna hit no matter their circumstances. Most guys are products of their environment, even when they get to the minor league and ultimately the major league level. And so that's part of what the next group has to look at is, well, who can we bring in to say, hey, we have actually a decent amount of talent. How do we make sure we get the most out of it? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. More of your calls next. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Chelsea Janes, 4:45, so less than 15 minutes from now, Robert Flores, MLB Network, reacting to the news from yesterday that Mike Rizzo, who'd been with the Nationals since 2006, been the president of baseball operations since 2009, is out, as is Davey Martinez. Miguel Cairo, by the way, named the interim manager today. There was some consternation about, did they even have a plan? They named Mike DiBartolo, the interim GM, immediately. They didn't name the manager. They didn't even know who they wanted. They did. That has since come out. It's a valid question, but they offered Miguel Cairo the bench coach. He wanted a day to sleep on it, comes back today and is like, yeah, I'm good for it. And so Miguel Cairo, the 17-year Major League Baseball veteran and bench coach in D.C. Since 2024, the start of last season, he is going to take over the job. 301-230-0980 is the phone number, 301-230-0980. Our guy Aries Tony has some thoughts. Tony, what's up, man? Thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig, how you doing? Thanks, Ant, for taking my call. Like I was explaining to Ant, we were really never recruited from the 2019 championship team. We always knew we had to go to youth movement, but we still didn't keep no core players or true veterans to help lead these young players. And I just thought that learners really just cut off the money train, just cut off the money and really didn't want to spend for a true veteran or somebody that can draw to the ballpark, because I'm hearing now that they're not barely drawing so many thousands to the park now, because everybody knows this is a youth movement, but people don't want to see a minor league team. They need to see something that's going to draw somebody out to the park or give them some kind of hope along with these new players. So I really don't blame Rizzo too much or Davey. I thought it started with the money bags, which was the learners. They didn't really put out the money for the resources that they really could really bring veteran or two to help these young players out.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair, Tony. I mean, I think even if you go like, hey, it was time, right? Davey's been here a long time. Because I don't know that the average fan who's like kind of casually paying attention to the Nationals, but maybe he's not a baseball fan writ large. Like, baseball is actually a very local sport in a lot of ways. People are much more likely, if you're a Wizards fan, to watch a random NBA game between two teams not involving the Wizards. Obviously, NFL, like, we all watch Sunday Night Football, whether it's the Commanders or not, or whoever your team is or not, right? With baseball, because there's so many games, etc., like, you kind of just watch your team, and it can be hard to keep track of what else is going on in the larger context unless you're, like, trying to put in that effort. And, like, Tony, I think you're like, you're a huge sports fan, but you're not the world's biggest baseball fan, right? Do I have that right?
I take that back. I was there at I'm not telling my age. 1971, when the Senators left to go to Texas, my grandma took me to the last game.
That's so I awesome.
I'm a baseball fan.
Okay,
and I did go to a couple of Oreo games. So. Yeah, okay. I'm a baseball fan.
Okay, you're a baseball fan, but you're not, like, locked in every single day with every single team, right? Like, you're not.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Do you know how many teams have lost more games than the Nationals since they won the World Series? So since 2019, the Nationals have lost more games than how many other, like, how many more teams have lost more games than the Nationals?
Too numerous to mention, right?
It's just one. They have the second worst record since 2019, only behind the Colorado Rockies. And like at that point, you go, you want to know what? GM might be operating with his hands tied behind his back, but that's really bad. And that's a long time. That World Series wasn't yesterday. And so I think that's the thing, Tony, and I appreciate the call, and because I think you're right. I think if we're doing blame pie or we're doing a blame chart, right? I think I think that the learners are number one. Like, I think it's hard to argue that if they just simply spent more money, that Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez couldn't generally have managed a team to a significantly better record. But by the same token, I don't know how good they actually are for the modern game. And I think sometimes like having a fresh set of eyes and a fresh message also is needed. And it might just be time for that too.
Hey, Craig, real quick, could we have re-signed Soto, Turner, or even Swarbrick? I mean, still, Soto would have been the overall signing, but Turner or Swarbrick, somebody that's still going to have a true veteran to go with these young pups, because we don't have no leadership in the lock.
I think that's a great question, and I, to be honest, doubt it based off of the budget that Rizzo was given. And so, Tony, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate the call, but I'm going to expound on that point.
Sir. Thank you.
Because I think this is a really important point when you look at, and again, I'll just go to the local teams here. One that has already found success, and one that, like, if you listen to teams around or people around the NBA on the Wizards offseason, they love what they are doing. Like, if you compare them to what the Bulls are doing or what many of these other teams around the NBA that are young and or rebuilding, like, people look at the Wizards and they go, they're doing it correctly. They are not spending like crazy on free agents, whatever, but they are acquiring really good veterans, not just like once were great players and maybe have lost a step or two. And McCollum, former All-Star, Middleton, former All-Star, Smart. I don't know if Marcus ever made an All-Star team, but he's definitely made all defensive teams. Like, these guys were great in varying capacities during their careers, but they also, the way they go about their work and all that stuff is something that this front office has really targeted. And it hasn't paid off in wins yet, because in the NBA, you don't win when you're 19 years old. And the Wizards, all their best young players are still stupid young. Guys like Bub came in at 18. Sar, super young. Like, we know that, right? Compare it to like Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, where Jaden's a more ready-made player. He's at the most important position in the sport. They get guys like Bobby who are maybe not what they once were, but are still really, really good. He was second team All-Pro last season, but the culture is built. And that's something that, listening to folks and reading things today, that I do put on the general manager on some level to say, whether it's staff, whether it's the right vets, whether it's how you bring people up through the system, there doesn't seem to be any kind of winning culture for the Nationals. And so that does start with ownership. And so let's not put it all on the GM and all on the manager. But I think all three levels there have some level of culpability and reestablishing the rules. And this is why, like, it kind of sucks for Davey, but like, if he just became the same voice they were used to, it's hard to snap people out of it. And so I think that shock, that new freshness, hopefully can get some guys on track for the second half of the season. And then obviously finding that is really important in the long term. All right, Robert Flores, MLB Network, joins us next. Toughen Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Of course, we're also now live on iHeartRadio and TuneIn. Joining us now, old friend of mine. Haven't had him on in a while because he works at MLB Network, and we haven't had a lot to talk about with the old Washington Nationals, and now we do because Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez aren't here anymore. Robert Flores is with us. Roflo, hello, old friend. How are you?
Craig, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I did not think when I woke up yesterday morning that I would be talking about baseball on today's show. Certainly not like this. What was your kind of instant reaction last night when you saw the news about Davey and Rizzo getting the hook?
I was shocked. And shocked really more on the timing of it. As you guys know, and I'm sure many of your listeners know, the Washington Nationals have the number one pick in the draft. And the draft is this coming Sunday. So that I thought was very peculiar. Look, it has not been good, to say the least, since the Nationals won the World Series in 2019. And I think there are a variety of reasons for that. It's never just one thing. I don't think you can point it to on Mike Rizzo. I don't think you can point it to Davey Martinez and his coaching staff. But I do think that they played a part in it, right? And ultimately, they're the ones that have to pay the price. Mike Rizzo, he's going to go down. Look, whenever this Washington Nationals team rebounds and gets back into the postseason and maybe contends for another World Series title, the big reason why will be the trade that Mike Rizzo made a couple of years ago in trading away Juan Soto. So I don't think that should be diminished despite their dismissal.
That's the complicated part of it, right? Is like, we know he's a good GM. We know there's been issues with ownership over the years. They also have the second most losses in baseball since they won the World Series, which is just an astonishing stat. So as you and Lauren and your crew are sitting around on your show on MLB Network and the Nats come up in a commercial break or whenever they come across the screen, like, what are the conversations like amongst people in the Major League Baseball world around this franchise at this point?
The conversation is James Wood is a left-handed hitting Dave Winfield. C.J. Abrams has a chance to be an all-star, perennial all-star. And Mackenzie Gore is a front-of-the-line rotation starter. And all three of those, of course, they signed or they acquired via the Juan Soto deal. And Sousa, I might be mispronouncing his name. The kid that's still in the minors, he might be the best of them all as far as the pitching goes. Harlan Sousa. So I think the talent is there. It's just a matter of finding some pieces. Look, a year ago, this team was dead last in home runs. And what they did in the offseason to try to do that was Nathaniel Lowe and Josh Bell. I'm looking at the numbers here via Ken Rosenthal's article in The Athletic. The Nats had a top 10 payroll 7 of 8 seasons between 2014 and 2021. In the last 3 years, they've averaged in the bottom 10. So, you know, you play with some young kids and you don't spend a lot of money. Sometimes the results are going to be what we've seen. That being said, teams like the Tampa Bay Rays, their payroll is very modest, so, and they still have success. So it's difficult. There's a lot of layers to this for sure.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, right, is you have teams like Tampa and others who are able to be far more competitive with similar payrolls. And when you look at those, like, it's easy to name the talent here, Robert, but, like, how does that amount of talent and the quality of it compare to some of these other teams that have low payrolls but much higher winning percentages?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And look, and I know that when discussing this story and the conversations around this story, it has been about player development. Are the Nationals developing their players in the right way where they can succeed at the big league level, right? When you look at James Wood, it would seem like, yeah, that's they're developing. It seems like that development is going rather well. I know there were some bumpy moments last year with C.J. Abrams. They sent him down to the minors for some personal stuff that he was going through. But by all accounts, he's turned it around, and he could have been an all-star pick. It's just that, what also doesn't do them any favors is their division's really, really tough. And I know fans don't want to hear it. But the Braves, they're not very good right now, but they're usually pretty good. The Phillies they're always good. The Mets, they're going to spend money and be good. So, look, they're in a tough division. But, again, you look at teams like the Rays, and I'll look at the Miami Marlins. Haven't checked the standings this today, but I think as of a couple days ago, the Marlins had a better record than the Nats.
Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, so it's a tough one. But like I said, I'm always going to have as someone that enjoys the game and watches the game a lot, I have a great deal of respect for both Dave Martinez and Mike Rizzo for what they've done. And, you know, throughout their careers, and especially leading the Nats to a World Series.
Robert Flores, MLB Network, host of MLB Central, with us here on The Hoffman Show. Robert, when this job goes to market in the offseason, assuming that it does, like Mark DiBartolo will certainly probably be a candidate, the guy who's going to take over on an interim basis, but how do you think that, considering the ownership situation we've talked about, like how desirable will the Nationals general manager job be?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very desirable. You know, obviously those candidates that do desire the job, they're going to want to know what the ownership plan is moving forward. What if it is the current ownership group? What does your budget look like for the next few years, 3 to 5 years? Because, look, if I'm coming in knowing that I've got James Wood under club control for a few more years and C.J. Abrams, and I'm going to have the number one pick as of Sunday, I would like to know how much financial flexibility do I have? Am I able to approach James Wood and his representation about a contract extension? Maybe so, too, for C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore. But yeah, it's a very desirable job and market and organization. But yeah, these candidates are going to want to know, what am I coming into here?
Yeah, and kind of money can we invest on the R&D side? All the kinds of things where the Nats have kind of now infamously become known as behind. Robert Flores talking about all this stuff on MLB Central. By the way, Robert, congratulations. I hear you, Mark DeRosa, Lauren Chahadi, just celebrated 1,000 episodes. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
That's a big number.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. And look, I've been on a chance to be a part of some really special shows and done a lot of cool things in my career. But professionally, this show, working with my two co-hosts, has been the best time of my career. So I'm very thankful for that.
What did you guys do to celebrate? Did you get like a cake? What did you do?
Yeah, we got a cake, and our coordinating producer thought it'd be hilarious if the cake had my face on it. So,
were they right?
Yes, it was. I found it quite hilarious. My co-host Lauren Chahadi didn't think it was quite as funny, but that's precisely why he did it, so he could kind of needle her a little bit. But I got a big kick out of it. So,
well, I mean, if she's mad about it, she can just smash the cake. Like, that's kind of the fun part about cake. It's like, oh, you think it's funny to put Robert's face on it? Well, watch what I do to Robert's face. So, you know,
exactly. That's what she did. She got a big giant butcher knife and cut right. I think at the jugular vein. If I'm being technical.
Well, I would just, you know, watch your back before you get to like 2000. It seems like Shahadi's got something out for you. Congratulations on that. And thanks again for joining us here on a busy day. And hopefully I'll talk to you sooner rather than later.
Hey, you got it. Hey, are they the Commander's going to re-sign McLaurin?
Yeah.
He could play for the Texans.
No. We've already done it. Our two football teams have already made the trade for the offseason. We get the good player. You take whatever the draft picks are in the future. We're done. That's done. We're done. No. They're going to sign.
All
yes,
right.
He's going to sign. All right, that's
all right. I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, you guys signed receivers last offseason. How'd that go?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe we could trade for one.
Yeah,
instead of sign one. You know.
Well, good point. Good point on that. All right. Thank you, Robert. Really appreciate it.
Have a good one.
All right, it's Robert Flores with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, Chelsea Janes, the latest on what she's hearing around the Nationals and their moves involving Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez.